Welcome to the Right Here, Right Now show with host Patrick Madrid. Right Here, Right Now is a call-in show where you can get your questions answered about life, faith, and today's culture. The show is produced by Immaculate Heart Radio. Now, here's your host, Patrick Madrid.
That's funny.
Is that a blast from the past?
Wow. Yeah, that was the, that's what the show open sounded like, 12 years ago.
I thought I'd do a little time travel for you.
That's funny. I like the little door alarm clicker. That's beep, funny. Beep. Yeah, Immaculate Heart Radio, for those saying, what on earth is going on here? Immaculate Heart Radio was the part of Relevant Radio before the merger out west, out in the Californias, etc. And when we had our merger, everything became Relevant Radio. So that's, yeah, that's a little walk down memory lane. Good vibes, that's for sure. And that song, what does that song sound like to you, Cyrus? Who does that sound like to you?
I was trying to figure out if it was like a beat, like one side of a Beatles, like the left track of a Beatles song.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is this? What does this sound like? Let's hear it again. Yeah, what is that? That's...
So that is music that I personally had. I hired some musicians to actually play a version of Paperback Writer.
That's it.
With different notes. In other words, in order to respect their copyright and all that, it can't be the same song. So it's a different chord scale, but it's the same feel. It has that same 1965-ish feel. You can just see Ringo banging away.
Yeah. I think you're lucky they never heard it.
Well, I mean, it would pass the smell test.
Coming for you.
I don't think so. I mean, it's all note for note different. It's different enough.
Sure it is.
Yeah. But it does sound like them, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Now I hear Paperback Writer.
We didn't keep that name Right Here, Right Now for long. When I was asked first time around what I wanted to call the show, and I had done a show, I produced a show for Catholic Radio by that name years and years ago. And I thought, that's kind of a fun sound, and let's do that. And then over time, it didn't take long. They said, we just want to change it to the Patrick Madrid Show. And so we did. Well, thanks, Cyrus. That was fun going back a ways. 888-914-9149. How about Marty now in Mejia, Texas. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Mr. Madrid. My question, I heard this before I became Catholic a few years ago. Mm-hmm. It was some preacher that I heard, just a sound bit on, probably on YouTube. Anyways, it was something about memorial tattoos for people who have passed away.
Yeah.
And getting tattoos of them or something that reminds you of them, mm-hmm. kind of keeps their soul from departing, almost like you're keeping their soul here on earth and keeping them from departing. And I don't see any ontological evidence of that. And the question came up like a few weeks ago whenever you were talking about tattoos a lot. And then mm-hmm. the lady who talked about cleaning her or putting flowers at her mother's grave reminded me of this question. And I've done some research to see if I could find some Catholic resources about it, but I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. So I figured I'd give you a call and ask your perception of it.
Sure. So I want to make sure I understand what you saw on YouTube or whatever. Did that person say that by having a tattoo of a deceased loved one, you're somehow preventing that person's soul from going on to eternity? Or did I misunderstand?
Something along those lines. Like I said, this was a few years ago. I wasn't Catholic at the time. And it kind of hits home because I have memorial tattoos of friends that I lost in combat. So
I see. Okay. Well, may they rest in peace. I'll start here, Marty, and I'll try to spiral into that particular point. I'm not a fan of tattoos at all. I think that they're mm-hmm. inadvisable. And if anyone asks my opinion, I mean, if nobody asks my opinion, I won't give it. But I mean, if they're curious to know, I discourage tattoos for a number of reasons. But in this case, no, tattoos can't in themselves have the power to prevent somebody from going on into the afterlife. So if you had a tattoo of person X, by doing that, it's not like sometimes we read about primitive peoples long ago who were, you know, in contact with more advanced peoples, and they thought that if their picture was taken, it would capture their soul, it would trap their soul, things like that. That's not true. It doesn't happen. And in the same way, if you were to have a tattoo on your body, it doesn't in any way affect the disposition of the person who has died, because he is going to the life to come regardless. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed to a man to die once and then the judgment. And that judgment, of course, is after death, and you now have to give an account of your life. So a tattoo can't prevent that from happening. Now, I don't want to over-explain my answer. Is there more to it, or did that get to the heart of your question?
No, sir. That's what I figured. I just wanted to do my due diligence and get some. Like I said, I did my own research, and just basically your statement is kind of like the cherry on top. Okay. You know, because you never know. Sometimes you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what I understand, and this is maybe part of the first part of my answer, is that from the reading that I've done, I'm by no means an expert on this, but I do try to keep up with reading about what exorcists have to say on this issue. And I haven't yet found an exorcist, a priest, who deals with the demonic activity and possession and things of that nature and all the things that lead up to that. I haven't yet found an exorcist who says that having tattoos is a good idea, or at least that it's benign. They invariably seem to say that they should be avoided because they can become part of that world. And for many people, it does lead them in that direction. Now, I'm not an expert on exorcisms, but I trust the guys who are. So I share that with you by way of consideration. It's something to, you know, to ponder. And for people right now listening who are thinking about getting a tattoo, I would definitely press pause on that, because of the associated potential dangers with the occult. I don't mean to disparage any of your fallen comrades, Marty, or anything like that at all, but just as a spiritual thing in the life of a believer. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I understand. Yeah. All my tattoos are, I've only been confirmed for 1 year now. It was last Easter that I was confirmed. Okay. And I've after listening to you and really understanding like what tattoos can actually bring. Don't get me wrong. I am tempted to get some here and there, but mm-hmm. I understand that it's probably not the right thing to do. So I haven't gotten any more since.
I appreciate you saying that, Marty. Do you mind if I ask you a question for my own education? Cause I'm genuinely curious. I really don't understand the allure of tattoos. I really don't. I mean, to me, it's just like, why on earth would I want to do that? But to your point, it's so hugely popular right now, and so many people, I realize I'm in the probably the tiny minority of people who would never get a tattoo, but it's so popular now, and I just don't understand it. Can you enlighten me? And this is not a trick question. I really would like to learn from somebody who's younger, maybe what is your experience in the culture? Are tattoos promoted in ways that I'm just not noticing? Why is it, do you think, that so many young people, they love the piercings, they love the tattoos? Because I don't understand that. What are your thoughts, Marty?
So yeah, culturally, I've thought about this before. Culturally, it has become a lot more popular. And, you know, whenever you get tattoos now, whenever they put the antiseptic on your skin before they actually start sticking you with the needle, mm-hmm. it's a numbing spray. And it's kind of like tattoos have kind of lost their metal, because it's almost like, you know, the pain is kind of something to get past and be proud of. Okay. That's how it's always been. And me, you know, I kind of grew up in a bad situation. I grew up around, I'm from San Antonio, inner city. I knew a lot of friends in inner city San Antonio.
Okay.
A lot of little cholo stuff going on and everything like that.
Right.
And so, you know, being around the gang culture, tattoos are a way of, you know, kind of promoting yourself and stuff. And then in the military, it's promoted because it's kind of like a camaraderie thing. Okay. Like I said, I have memorial tattoos of friends that I have, you know, dog tags and such. Mm-hmm. And then before I became a Catholic, I have, you know, religious tattoos. Not a whole lot, anything like that. But mm-hmm. So people find meaning in them. You know, you hear the whole my body is a canvas kind of thing. but
my body's a canvas. Is that what you said?
Yes.
A canvas. Okay. Yeah, at first I thought you might've said cannabis, and then I thought, how can your body be cannabis? But I understand what you mean.
Yes, sir. But yeah, the culture and, but then you have these, so it's almost like things like that kind of makes you feel like you earned a tattoo, which I think is different from the culture now where it's just like, oh, anybody can get a tattoo anytime, anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's lost its meaning a lot. And now I feel, you know, it's kind of like the whole, I was getting tattoos before, it was cool kind of thing. And now it's like, oh, everybody has tattoos and they're not earning them. And I guess, quote unquote, the right way. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, oh, now I feel like, you know, I wear, because some of my tattoos are on my arms. And okay. Whenever I'm in a professional setting, I cover my tattoos, you know, I wear long sleeves, stuff like that, because I do believe in professionalism at the same time.
That's an interesting point you're making there. And I can see why you'd say that. If you, let's just say, let's go forward 20 years in the future. And you're the owner of some very successful company, and you're looking to hire somebody, and man or woman comes in for an interview and has tats, sleeves, or whatever. Would that affect your perception of that person without knowing anything else? Would that be a thumbs up or thumbs down in terms of your immediate perception of that person as a candidate for a job?
Absolutely. And I'm gonna be 28 here in a in a little over a month. That's how young I am. Mm-hmm. And, but I lean more towards the traditional, perspective.
So what I mean is, so I think I understand your answer, but I want to make sure you're going to hire somebody for this position. And one of the candidates comes in and you can see clearly lots of tattoos, let's say on the forearms. Does that move the needle in the positive direction or in the negative direction? Just as a first glance, you don't know anything else about the person, but you're sizing him or her up and you see that. Does that move the needle negative or positive for you?
Negative, for sure.
Why is that?
It kind of shows that, depending on how visible they are, you know, if you're, of course, this is just first glance, but if they're showing and all that, it kind of means that you don't care about your image as much. Mm-hmm.
And like if you had tattoos on your hands, your fingers, that kind of thing. Even more that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I have friends and family that have tattoos on their hands, and you know, they're good people and all that. But of course, at first glance, it's like, okay, and it could have been from the past. They could be a changed person. Like I'm a changed person now myself.
Right.
But essentially, yeah, it kind of tells you, tells me that you don't care about your image. Again, this is all on first glance.
Sure. And first impressions are important. They're not always accurate, but they are important.
Exactly.
What about piercings, like body modification piercings? And again, I'm not trying to in any way trap you. I'm just curious because I don't understand that also. I don't understand the allure of having a nose ring or a belly button ring or piercing your, you know, whatever is being pierced. I don't see the allure of it. And I know it's different, but it's kind of in the same world with tattoos, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I've had plenty of piercings too. In fact, whenever I first came into the church, I had a nose ring, a tongue ring. I had and multiple piercings in my ears. Mm-hmm. I slowly took them out over time. And finally, back in December, I finally decided to get rid of my two earrings and my tongue ring. Okay. But I was holding on to them because it was almost like an image thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm the kind of weirdo, but like also kind of reverent and kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. I was like, you know, this is stupid. And I had to tell myself, like, stop, like, clinging to this. It's so nominal and people really don't care. And in fact, if people do care, it tends to be negative. And so I finally took all of them out. And it's the same thing. It's just a lack of, what's the word I'm looking for? A lack of pride in your image.
Self-respect? Would that be another way to put it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Self-respect.
Yeah, it's a mystery, but I'm open to learning. I realize that it's a generational thing. Looking back on it, Marty, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for that, and thank you for the thoughtful discourse here. Looking back on it, so I graduated from high school in 1978, and I don't think I knew anybody who had a tattoo. I don't remember. Certainly not among any of the teachers or administrators, as I recall. And, you know, that's why it's good to have a yearbook, because you can go back and look and see in some of the candid pictures. I don't think anybody that I remember in the high school, and it was a big suburban high school, maybe a couple thousand students all told. And I don't think anybody had a tattoo. Or if they did, I mean, it was covered up well enough that nobody really saw it. But it wasn't a cultural phenomenon at all. So fast forward however many years, Cyrus, to when you graduated from high school, which must have been, when was that? Around 1990 maybe, or a little bit later than that? Were tattoos around then among your peers?
No, they started showing up in college a lot. What did I see? You know, nobody had face tattoos or neck tattoos. They were all like calf tattoos or like barbed wire around a bicep.
Right. I remember when those became popular. Mm-hmm. What about piercings? I don't remember. I mean, the girls had their ears pierced, of course, but nobody had like a nose piercing or anything like that. It was even noticeable if a girl had more than one pierced earring in her ear. If there were two, it's like, okay.
Oh, yeah, that was gone by the time I was in high school.
If there's three, it's like, okay, what's going on here? Yep. What are you trying to say?
Yeah, people had all kinds of ear piercings, and dudes were piercing their ears. And that's just a normal thing now.
So what's your take on that? So we heard from Marty in his perspective. Marty's younger than you, Cyrus. And so
I think what's going to happen.
Why do you think they're doing this? What is the attraction or what's the draw?
I think we've reached, you know, the pendulum has swung. And now the children, my kids, and I think their peers will look at tattoos. And it's like, that's what old people do. Old people get tattoos. So I think we're actually going to see a major decline in tattoos over the next 10, 15 years.
So in 10 or 15 years, when people are visiting their grandparents in the rest home.
Right, and they have the face tattoo.
In the music that's playing in the speakers in the rest home where all the older people are is going to be Metallica and AC/DC and all that old people
that
music.
Already is. That's the music that they're hearing in the supermarket. It's the music. Crazy.
So when they see all the old folks in 10, 15, 20 years with tattoos.
It'll be Taylor Swift and I can't even name
and the kids will be saying, Mom, I don't want to listen to that. That's old people music.
That's right.
Wow. That is funny. We have an article. It's called Tattoo You, and a physical graffiti is the main title. And it was written by a Catholic deacon in the Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon. And it's a reflection from a Catholic perspective on tattoos. You know, what does this mean? Is this good? Is this not good? Is this helpful to you? Is it harmful to you? So we'll post that on the show Twitter feed, at P Madrid Show. You'll be able to find it there. And it's worth looking at. It's worth it. I'm guessing. Okay, so this is Weird Al, right? Turn it up, Cyrus. I'll be right back.
Okay, right there by my elbow. You see? Yeah, I got a couple square inches left. Maybe a square.
Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. Info at charitymobile.com.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. You never know what kind of conversation you might have, and it could be you if you call this number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. How about Bill now in Orange County? Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Patrick. On the tattoo issue, you know, I'm 76 years old.
Okay.
And when I was a kid, we lived in a little neighborhood where most of the people, adult men, were veterans turned from the war, and many of them had tattoos. And I was always fascinated with tattoos. But my dad told my brother and I, if you ever come home with a tattoo, I'm going to take it off with a razor blade. And we both believed that.
And no anesthesia involved, I bet, right?
Oh, no. And I could just see the visual image of that. And it was, anyway, But I did want to comment. The young people, I think, there's a Green Day song that says, "I want to be the minority."
Yeah.
And have you know that song? I love Green Day.
So.
I want to be the minority. And I think young people want to identify with hard done by, and I've had a hard life, and and I've done this. I mean, it's self inflicted pain, and it's like I'm a tough guy, and I've lived a rough life.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to pass that on. I'm a Protestant, but I love Relevant Radio. I love listening to you, Father Simon, Drew, and anyway, you have a wealth of information and interesting programs, and I listen every time I'm in my vehicle. And all my
Catholic friends,
I'm a Protestant. I go to a Protestant church. There you go. And so many people are former Catholics, and I think, why did you leave that? I love my Catholic friend. I have a Catholic cousin. I think my grandparents were Catholic. I found a Bible that said they were married by Father Brady in St. Joe, Missouri, in probably the late 1800s. Anyway, keep up.
Well, Bill, I can say that the door to the Catholic Church is always open to you, sir. Please never feel like, well, I could never become Catholic. Because if the Spirit moves you and you find yourself with those thoughts, please know that we would welcome you with open arms.
I know that. And my wife would travel anywhere at any time. I'm not much of a traveler, but last year, for our 50th anniversary, which is actually was delayed because of COVID, we went last year to Rome, and I was so moved by just the love of all the people that were going through the Vatican and St. Peter's Basilica. I just felt a kinship with all these people that have such reverence for Christ.
That's beautiful.
I know people talk about images and artwork, but the sculpture of the Pietà, is that how you say it? The pity?
Yeah, Pietà.
I find it one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen that's made by human hands. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just wanted to comment. I listen to you every day.
Thank you, Bill. Well, it makes me extra happy today to know that you're there. And I'm glad that Relevant Radio is helping you and your wife, too, I hope. And if we can ever be of service in some way, let me know, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Good chatting. Well, he has a breadth of musical knowledge. Green Day. Is Green Day still together anymore? I don't think they are they, Cyrus? I don't think they're doing anything
I think they're touring.
Oh, is that so?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, to me, they're not oldies, but a lot of the oldies acts are still touring. It's amazing. 888-914-9149. How about John now in Chicago? Good morning, John.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. I'm calling in regards to, I work in a hospital, and sometimes we get patients that arms are completely, they look like they have sleeves on them. With tattoos, and it's very difficult to palpate. You have to palpate the vein to draw the blood out of it.
Okay.
And in an emergency, it's really difficult. You know what I mean?
Do you mean that when you try to draw blood, if the person has a tattoo, that makes it harder to do that?
If it's completely covered, if the whole arm is completely covered in tattoos.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible that way. I mean, if you have one or two on the arm, that's not really a problem. But when they're colored completely, where the whole arm looks like an old psychedelical album cover from the 60s, it's extremely, in my case, I mean, maybe there's people better drawing blood than I am, but you know what I mean? You have to palpate the vein and make sure you're in the right area and then go in, you know.
Is the nature of the problem that the skin is more, I don't know, tough, or it's harder to get to the vein or find the vein, or is there some problem with the ink in the skin that might get into the blood draw?
Yeah, it's not so much the ink being in the skin. It's more the fact that it's blended in completely. You don't see anything until
I see.
Once the tourniquet goes on there, and if they're young enough, then the vein pops up. If you're an older person, well, the veins don't pop up that much like I am. So, you know.
And then you're digging around with that needle, which nobody likes, especially
right.
the person getting
exactly.
the... Yeah, I can see that point. Well, fair enough.
Yeah, it's... It is what it is nowadays. But sometimes these young people, when they come in and I say I have to draw blood, and they just look at me like, well, go ahead, you know. And I'm like looking. And then, you know, we have machines now called vein finders, and you could scan the hand or the arm for that matter, and it pulls up the vein. You can't do it with a completely blanketed. It shows
that
nothing.
That is interesting.
You know.
I never even would have thought about that. Of course, I'm not in that world, but... That makes sense to me, John. Hey, thank you for that. I appreciate it. 888-914-9149, sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Let's go to John in Clearwater, Florida. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Hi, Pat. So talking about tattoos, piercings, and, you know, things of that nature, I always looked at them as a, you know, you had mentioned earlier that pride, you know, leads to a lot of other sinful acts.
Uh-huh.
And I see those things as pride, you know, but with, you know, color in your hair, you know, different colors. The piercings, the tattoos, the look at me type thing. And, it, you know, it even extends into like lack of modesty, you know, wearing a bikini that barely covers anything, or maybe going to the gym for too long and working out too much just to say, you know, look at me. I think all those things, you know, are forms of pride, and it's, you got to really be careful, you know.
I know some, you know, to your point, John, I know some people, I know them now, who I'm thinking of some men, one in particular, but who is a regular at the gym, really works bodybuilding, etc. But he, I don't think I've ever seen him in a short sleeve shirt. He always wears, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's this reason, but isn't it true that a lot of men who spend a lot of time in the gym, they want people to notice their guns? So they intentionally wear short sleeve shirts, even when it might be cold out. Or even, you know, like a the shirt that's just over the shoulder. There is no sleeve, and it's so that everybody will notice this. They want to be seen. They want to be ogled. I've even seen. Well, I'll leave it at that. But
all right, I am Han, and my own friends, and we just want to pop. You are.
Yeah, those guys.
Especially as you had tattoos. I used to be one of those guys. I don't have any tattoos. I was always against them. But I used to be one of the guys that used to work out. You know, I'm 58 now, but in my 20s and 30s, I worked out to, you know, everybody to look at the
gun. To be huge, right.
You know, I never got huge, but I was a pretty good-sized guy. Now I stay in shape, but it's for a different reason. But, yeah, I always just thought those things are – pride, as you said, leads to a lot of different things. We got to be really careful with pride. And, you know, no matter how old we are, what we're doing, there's a lot of different avenues we can go down that I think can lead us in the wrong direction.
That's true. I don't disagree at all. Thank you. And we sort of live in a performative society nowadays where people, in their own way, perform for others, whether through tattoos or piercings or other things like that, that you mentioned the hair coloring. Appreciate the call, John. Thank you for that. You know, this is another thing too, when you think about tattoos, I've noticed this as well. Can't help but notice it sometimes. You walk into the grocery store. This happened in this past winter. I don't know why I remember this, but I do. I went into the grocery store. It was the dead of winter. I mean, it was cold. And there's some dude walking through the store, and he had on his jacket and hoodie and all that, but he had shorts on because he had a tattoo on his calf. And I think to myself, why would you, on a day like this, where it's really cold and windy and everybody else is all bundled up, why would you wear shorts? Ah, I know. Because you want to make sure that people see that skull tattoo on your right calf. I couldn't think of any other reason why he would do that, because he was bundled up everywhere else. The same thing is true, of course, when it comes to, you know, putting tattoos in places that maybe you yourself can't even see. Like, you can't see the tattoo on the back of your calf or in some other place, but you want to do it for other people to see it. So our last caller raised an interesting point, and that is, what's the motivation for the tattoo? Is the motivation to make sure that people see, oh, yeah, she's got that tattoo on her foot or on her calf or wherever? Or is there some other motivation for it? And that's a big part of how we can evaluate any act that we do to find out if this is something good or not good. Is this moral or immoral or somewhere in between? The act itself, the circumstances of the act and the intention of the act. So especially for those of you who might be contemplating getting a tattoo or getting another tattoo, think about that. What is your motivation? I've often wondered, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I've often wondered if maybe nowadays having a tattoo means you're kind of, you're considered cool, or you're in the club, or you're part of the group. It's like it's your union card, and people will recognize you as, okay, well, this guy's cool because he's got a tattoo, or she's cool because she's got a tattoo. So ask yourself, what is your true motivation for getting a tattoo? And if it's for human respect, I mean, if it's for people to think you're cool, is that really a good reason to get a tattoo? I don't think so. Because who cares what other people think about you? And if their perception of you, or they're making a decision on you, is favorable simply because you have a tattoo, is that really a good reason to do it? I don't think so. 888-914-9149. Tony in Forest Lake, Minnesota. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. I'll try to be brief, but I'm 74. And what happens is, when you're a little boy back in the 50s and 60s, you could buy bubble gum. And each time you opened a bubble gum package, you would find a water tattoo.
I remember
that. The nuns used to make, if they caught you with one, they would take you down to the janitor room and wipe it off. It was a jailhouse tattoo. It was a sign of being a manly person, you know, a military tattoo. And so it changed now. But mostly it was a man thing.
And I think that's true. Yeah, I mean, so let's, if we were to take a look at pictures of people during World War II, yeah, you could see some sailors or soldiers or airmen who, of course, they didn't have the Air Force in those days, but you know what I mean. You could see tattoos among military guys, but I can't imagine, or I can't remember ever seeing a tattoo on a woman during World War II.
No.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
You're doing a great job, Pat. Love you. Thank you,
Tony. Appreciate that. And on that happy note, we'll take a quick timeout, and we'll get right back to more of your calls. The number is 888-914-9149. If you call that number now, chances are good I can get you on the air, because we just had two lines open up. 888-914-9149. Be right back. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. Info at charitymobile.com.
Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
All right, you win. You win. That's pretty good.
Hey, happy Easter Monday, Patrick.
Thank you. I thought you were going to try to prank me for...
I thought about it. I was like, one little here, a little there.
That was good. I like that. That's good. Some people who are new to the program don't understand what that all is. So one of these days I'll explain it to them. Hey, something happened over the weekend. Actually, just at the end of last week, I wanted to bring to your attention. El Presidente, President Joe Biden, he issued a decree, and he decreed that yesterday, this Easter Sunday, obviously Easter falls on different dates throughout the year, but it was specific to this particular Easter Sunday yesterday, and he decreed that it would be National Trans Visibility Day. And here is what he wrote. And he says, now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, that's Easter Sunday, as Transgender Day of Visibility. I call upon all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation, and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, signed Joseph R. Biden. So I took note of it, as did many people on social media. And my comment was, it's no coincidence or surprise that he decreed this for Easter Sunday. Now, not every Easter Sunday forever and ever, amen. It was yesterday, the specific date in mind. And to my mind, this is an example of, let's just put it this way, misplaced priorities, I think would be a good way to put it. Misplaced priorities. Now, somebody else on Twitter said, and has four pictures on Twitter with the corporate logos of 40, 50 major companies with the, you know, the gay, trans, LGBTQ version of their logo with the colors and all that kind of thing. Major, major corporations, big banners, the trans banner, which are being hung from building to building across busy city streets, subway metro cars that are all painted with the trans color and trans people, etc. The White House, all lit up with the LGBTQ / trans colors. I mean, the White House itself. And that person on Twitter says Biden declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day because apparently they're invisible the rest of the year. And the irony, of course, is that this is at every step that you take, you can't help but see it. It's there everywhere. So of all people, thought you might find this interesting, Bruce Jenner, who legally changed his name to Caitlyn Jenner, and you know that he regards himself to be a trans woman. He's a man, but he sees himself as a woman. Even he said this on Twitter yesterday. I guess it would have been Friday. He says, I am absolutely disgusted that Joe Biden has declared the most holy of holy days as a self-proclaimed devout Catholic. I'm sorry, he's referring to President Biden as a self-proclaimed devout Catholic. He says, I'm absolutely disgusted that he has declared the most holy of holy days as Transgender Day of Visibility. The only thing you should be declaring on this day is he is risen. Cyrus, Caitlyn Jenner / Bruce Jenner said that. I mean, he of all people, you would think would be super gung-ho about that. And even he says, no, that's not good because that's not what Easter is all about. And how odd it is that it was a Catholic president who did that.
I like in this, I'm looking at the same article you're reading. Mm-hmm. And of course, the article writes, she says, she talking about Caitlyn.
I always hate saying Caitlyn Jenner, but that's his legal name now. So, I mean, I will call him by his legal name. But you were saying?
No, that's it. I'm just commenting on the journalistic integrity here.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
It's what I've come to expect. And tied into that, just as a little side note, that religious images were specifically banned by the White House for the Easter egg art contest. So this is an article by Kendall Teets, T-I-E-T-Z. Children of the National Guard are prohibited from submitting religious Easter egg designs for the 2024 Celebrating National Guard Families art event at the White House. So this transpired over the weekend. The art contest is part of the White House's Easter traditions, which include the annual Easter egg roll. And the flyer for the contest states that an Easter egg design submission, quote, must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes, or partisan political statements.
On Easter.
For the purposes of this contest.
Unreal.
So when the kids are drawing their, you know, this is my expression of what I'm celebrating about Easter. It better not have any religious content like, you know, an empty tomb or an empty cross or something like that, because after all, that would be...
Stick the magic bunnies, children.
It says, this is from the White House, as part of the White House Easter traditions... America's egg farmers for nearly 50 years have proudly presented an intricately decorated commemorative Easter egg to the First Lady of the United States. In 2021, the White House expanded on this longstanding tradition by displaying youth-designed Easter eggs at the White House East Colonnade. On behalf of First Lady Jill Biden, the Adjutants General of the National Guard are asking youth from National Guard families across the United States and all territories to submit artwork inspired by the theme celebrating our military families. Children were asked to design eggs with images based on their own lives. Selected designs, the flyer says, representing the unique experience and stories of National Guard children, will be brought to life on real hen eggs by talented egg artists from across the country. I think I saw that on your resume, Cyrus. One of the bullet points on your resume was that you were a talented egg artist. Or did I misread that?
I don't think you're supposed to share that.
Oh, and they also give this warning that the children cannot promote bigotry, racism, hatred, or harm against any group or individual, or promote discrimination based on race, gender, religion, nationality, disability, sexual orientation, or age. Isn't it the case that they're exercising discrimination based on religion when they say that the kids can't put anything religious on the Easter egg on Easter, which is a religious holiday? Thank you. Thank you. I like how you anticipate my needs. So anyway, there's that. The kids were told, don't you dare put a cross or anything else like that. So that happened over the weekend. I just thought I'd bring you up to date on that. 888-914. Let me have another one, Cyrus. I want to make sure this holds till the end of the program.
I did see some funny national Trans Day. People were posting photos of their Trans Ams. I appreciated that.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, for once, I guess I'm with Caitlyn Jenner on something. Because, and I imagine that probably took a lot for him to say that, to go up against the combined might of the federal government, for heaven's sake, and for all of the yammering ideological people for whom, when I posted my little comment, as simple as it was, on Joseph Biden's decree about Transgender Visibility Day for Easter yesterday, there were a good 4, 5, 6 people who immediately came out of the woodwork, trans people, I guess, who were excoriating me in some cases,
come on, man,
in words that I can't repeat on the air. Talk about tolerance. Wow. And diversity. 888-914-9149. How about John in Georgia? Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning. I didn't know if you're still doing about tattoos, but...
Oh, I'm here for whatever topic.
Oh, okay. Well, in the 80s, I was a hawker, newspaper, outdoor promoter guy, speaking to, like, over the years, probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people, but every single World War II vet I met who had a tattoo, because I was interested in getting one at the time, mm-hmm. I asked them about it, and they said they regretted it. They wished they had never done it. Yep.
Really?
Every single one.
I don't doubt you, but I am surprised to hear that, John.
Yeah. I was surprised too, because, you know, I was supposed to be manly and all that stuff, but, it's just...
Did they say why they regretted the tattoos?
They're young, they're drunk, they're they're doing it because other guys are doing it, or asked them reasons or whatnot. This was years ago. I think it just became, over the years, an embarrassment. And of course, by the time they were in their 80s or 90s or whatever it was, you know, they were just like globby blue ink messes. You know, you couldn't really even tell what it was. But, you know, you can't imagine just relationships. Oh, what's that?
I mean, they just
Netflix, you know. Yeah. So
interesting. So what did you do? I'm guessing that you didn't go forward with your thought about getting a tattoo on the basis of what they said, huh?
Correct. I mean, I was just something, I didn't think about, I just really gave me a lot of perspective and, some of the stories I heard, a whole lot of respect for the things they went through. So, apart from that.
Well, that's counterintuitive. I would not have expected that to be the case, but I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome, and God bless y'all.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Appreciate that. How about Tom in Bloomington, Minnesota? Tom, thank you for your patience and welcome.
Hello, Patrick. I was I have a bottle of Lord's water and say it's mm-hmm. half full. And I think I read somewhere that if you add holy water to it, it's like making the bottle full again. But I don't know if that's true.
It's one of those things, and I've thought about this over the years too, Tom, is that if you So if you have a bottle of water from Lourdes and it's half gone, you put any water into it, whether or not it's holy water, is that still Lourdes water? I think it is. I think the problem here is if we get too technical, then there's really no way to know at what point. If it's two-thirds depleted and you add water, is it still Lourdes water? If it's three-quarters depleted, and there's no way to know. I mean, to me, there's no way to be able to tell. So I would just say if you add water to Lourdes water, it's still Lourdes water. If you use it up halfway and you add more water, at some point, clearly, there's very little, if any, water from Lourdes left there. So maybe the best thing to do is just use the Lourdes water, and when it's done, it's done, you know, and not try to keep it going that way. Otherwise, it leads to I don't think helpful or even ways to find out exactly if it's still Lourdes water or not. I would say just use it, and when it's done, it's done, you know.
That makes sense. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Tom, and thank you for your patience and holding. I appreciate that. How about Ron now in Wisconsin? Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Patrick. Love your show.
Thank you.
And I was thinking about, you're welcome, and I was thinking about these tattoos. These tattoos are becoming more and more popular nowadays, mm-hmm. and I'm just wondering if maybe people are being conditioned, in other words, they feel comfortable with the tattoos to be ready for the mark of the beast.
Interesting. Well, let's first of all take note of the fact that tattoos have been around probably about as long as human beings have been, excepting, of course, Adam and Eve. But tattoos are not something new. But as far as could it be that this generation, by its readiness and willingness, or ready willingness to accept a tattoo because it's popular, if this that generation foretold in Scripture, and I hope we're not, but let's say that we are, could it be that this is conditioning people to generally be positive about twos and therefore more likely to accept one? I don't think that's an unreasonable position. That seems reasonable to me.
That's what I was thinking about. I'm not very well educated. I play bass guitar, but I was thinking about this. It's a conditioning of the mind to accept the mark of the beast someday, because you talk to just about anyone. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get a tattoo. No problem. And it's not like it was back in the days where your previous caller called about this bubblegum tattoos. I remember that.
Yeah.
But it's everybody agrees with the tattoos, most everyone, you know. So anyways, food for thought. And I love your program. Keep up the good work, Patrick.
Thank you. I shall, and I appreciate your prayers for that.
You're welcome, Patrick. Take care.
Thanks, Ron. Bye-bye. How about Maggie now in Oak Park, Michigan? Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just a quick question. I always wondered this. When Jesus was being crucified, why did he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because I wondered, you know, did he think that God had abandoned him at that point? Because he knew that he was going to go through this. He knew he had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question. I don't know if you have an answer for that.
Yes. So he was, as with many things that the Lord experienced or that he did, both experiencing and doing it, he was fulfilling biblical prophecy. So if you look at the readings for Good Friday, which is where we are, what you're talking about, in Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, those are Old Testament prophecies about the suffering servant. And Jesus fulfills this. So there are, in the Psalms, instances where this phrase is used, my God, why have you abandoned me? And so the Lord is on the cross, not only from his own anguish, just the pain and desolation that he no doubt felt. He was also quoting Scripture. And this, to me, suggests that it was not only was it just an expression of the sheer pain that he was in, but also a reminder to his listeners that he was fulfilling these Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. You see?
Okay. Okay.
And then one more little tidbit, if you don't mind, and that is that he, Jesus, of course, is divine and human, so he has a perfect human nature. And along with that human nature come those things proper to human beings, which include emotions and fear and his intellect and his will and his body, all those things that are proper to humanity. Jesus had those things, has those things.
Okay.
So in his anguish, he was feeling that he had been abandoned. He was not merely quoting scripture for effect. He was going through the throes of that horrible desolation of being near death and completely abandoned to the depredations of the people who had put him to death. He knew in his mind, of course, that the Lord had not truly abandoned him, but that too, I think, is part of it. Good question, Maggie, and I thank you for that. We have a whole hour yet ahead on the Patrick Madrid Show, so please stay right there. I'll be right back with more right after this.